freedom is the right to tell what they do not want to hear. CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Tired of the same repetitive government narratives? And wave goodbye to the distractions and rhetoric of corporate media. For this is Anti-Media Radio.
I want to get the language right.
The government is in trouble.
You're all a bunch of slaves. A bunch of slaves.
What we need in the United States is not violence and lawlessness, but is love and wisdom and compassion toward one another.
What's your definition of me?
And now, here's your host, S.M. Gibson.
May the 14th, 2015. This is Anti-Media Radio coming to you live all the way from San Diego, California. As always, I'm your host, S.M. Gibson, joined with the editor-in-chief, the founder, the creator of Anti-Media himself, Mr. Nick Burnaby. How you doing this evening, sir?
I'm doing great, man. I'm ready to get cracking on this show and talk about some of this huge news that's come up today, and in particular, between last night and today, a lot of stuff has developed. And I really am starting to really think all this, a lot of this 2016 stuff is really becoming a big distraction from the policies that are actually being passed right now before 2016.
Oh, yeah,
that are
absolutely
going to be, you know, the ones that are going to be most impactful when it comes down to our day-to-day lives in the near future.
Absolutely. I tell you what, before we get into all that, I'm going to start the show like I start every week. Real quick, the facts and the information that the corporate media will not tell you. So far in Chicago, and we use Chicago because of their strict gun policy and gun laws there, they have had 139 homicides and 668 people have been shot since the beginning of the year in a city that you can barely have a gun.
Damn.
So, yeah, how's that law working out? We have also our great allies over in Saudi Arabia. We've had 80 beheadings so far this year. Last year it was 87, and it's just May, so they're going to far surpass their beheadings from last year, and yet we go after ISIS because they behead people. But Saudi Arabia, that's just fine when they do it.
Where's the consistency there, you know?
Well, it's the consistency of who has the money and the oil and who holds hands with the Bushes in Crawford, Texas. 44 police officers have been killed, or should I say have died in the line of duty so far this year. 44 compared to 422 citizens have been killed by police officers since the beginning of this year.
It's about 1,000% difference there.
Yeah, that's it's a lot.
Yeah. So, and of these officers, and I don't want to discredit the fact that they're dying or whatever, but they're not all from being killed, are they?
No, they're not. We've had there's heart attacks, there's car wrecks involved in that statistic. Illness, 9/11 illness is something that they list, and I'd be honest with you, I don't even know why they would include that. You know, in their statistics.
Well, those are the LAPD guys that are getting cancer and stuff.
Right.
From all that dust that they inhaled down there at 9/11.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And that's horrible, man. You know, that's one of the untold stories. All those firefighters and stuff that inhaled all that smoke.
Oh, yeah.
And all the people that were down there, man, they're all getting these respiratory syndromes and all this stuff. It's
Well, we should blame the Muslims. That's who did it.
Well, they blamed
Muslims.
They blamed Iraq, obviously.
Those evil Iraqis. It was the evil Iraqis that committed 9/11. Isn't that right? Oh, wait. That's not how it happened, actually. It wasn't that.
Well, you know, we're still getting down to that bottom of that story. you know, and I'm sure you've talked about it before.
We have. I tell you what, speaking of which, here's something that was in the news today. A girl confronts Jeb Bush and said that your brother helped create ISIS.
Yeah, and this is just comes a few days after he was saying that he would have done the same thing that his brother did.
Oh, yeah, and he says that he's going to use him as his foreign policy expert, and he knows more about the Middle East than anybody that he knows, and how could anybody else be more trusted? This is who this guy, like, at least lie to us, Jeb. Like, that's just lie to me. You're a politician. That's what you do. Don't tell me you're going to get your brother, who just indiscriminately has gone out bombing people, to be your advisor. Just say, hey.
His advisor for Israel, nonetheless.
Right.
Yeah, man. It's funny that woman that called him out really owned him on that one, and
she did.
And he really had nothing to say. He couldn't really say anything besides, "I disagree with you."
Oh yeah, he tried to weasel his way out of it, but.
But the what she was saying to me is exactly true. It's correct. It is the policies that George Bush conducted mainly in Iraq, which did lead to the creation of ISIS and left a power vacuum in Iraq and all of this unrest that has gone on. And, you know, of course, the region's always been pretty tumultuous. You know, there's a reason why we supplied Saddam Hussein with a chemical weapon for him to launch against the people against the Kurdish people that were in Iraq, was because there was already some, you know, underlying tensions there. Saddam Hussein had it relatively stable. Wasn't perfect, of course. But when we went in there and took him out, we left behind a huge power vacuum that is now being filled, obviously, by ISIS.
Exactly.
And then you got a huge corrupt government.
Well, and then
the Western-backed government that's in charge of Iraq, they're horrible too, man. Well, they're corrupt to the core.
Well, where did ISIS? And see, we had Justin Keane with Fifth Column, and then with Anti-Media as well on last week. And geez, we went way over. We were going to talk for like 10 minutes. We ended up talking for like 40 minutes, and that was pretty much the whole show. And I think we could have done another hour. And we talked about it in great detail about how he's really big on debunking a lot of these stories and this conspiracy and that conspiracy. And he tried to debunk the U.S. basically created ISIS. And he said, "I couldn't do it." He says, "It doesn't. Yeah, I can't. The money came from here. We funded them. The weapons came from here. We helped create that situation."
Well, not only did we leave this power vacuum in Iraq, but then we went in when the Arab Spring kicked off. We went in to back the Syrian rebels like right away.
Right.
And so what would have been, you know, it's kind of the same situation that went on in Libya, except they weren't as successful overthrowing the government because there was a backlash from the American public. Remember, when our government tried to straight up say, okay, we're just going to take out Assad just like we took out Gaddafi.
But Libya was a lot more covert because it was very much, it was just kind of upheaval, and then they killed him. But Syria, they wanted to go completely to war. We didn't go completely to war. They had, you know, had their CIA people, and they had an uprising, you know, an Arab Spring kind of an uprising.
Well, they established, don't forget that they established a no-fly zone in Libya, man.
Right.
And that's basically, you know, you bring your aircraft carriers in, you shut down the air zone, you don't let any of the Libyan planes fly. And, you know, I mean, if that's not war, I mean, I don't know what is.
Well, we can say, if that's the case, then we're at war with half the world.
Yeah, pretty much. But so, you know, that's exactly what they did in Libya, but they tried to pull the same thing in Syria. We all remember the anti-Syrian war, you know, movement.
They're using chemical weapons. They're using chemical weapons.
Yeah, and they tried to say they were using chemical weapons. To this day, the proof is, like, still pretty shady.
Well, the proof, there was chemical weapons used, but there's more proof to suggest that the people that the United States was funding were the people that used them.
Well, it all depends on who you ask.
Right.
But, you know, when we went in there and kind of blew that Syrian civil war open, that's basically, between that and what we left in Iraq, really let ISIS come to power, you know, and really gather the momentum that it has.
That's true, but even if things could have stayed in that vacuum, but they didn't have any financial support. They didn't have any real means. They didn't have any real arms. We provided that for them. Saudi Arabia provided that for them. And that's where the real problem came. They could have, you know, we could have done everything we did in Iraq, and there could have been all those problems. ISIS, it has the power, and they are the trouble they are now because we literally funded them to become that. It's not like they had all this money and the bin Laden story where it came from money, so we funded all this stuff. There was no story like that with ISIS. The United States is just like, they just came, they just appeared, and they don't explain to you that we were the ones that gave them all that money. We were the bin Laden family for ISIS, if you want to put it that way. I mean,
yeah, I mean, one way or another, they got their hands on all that stuff that we sent over to Iraq.
Right. You know? I mean, Ben Swan has a great video about it that we had on the anti-media for, about 2 months ago? Or
yeah, and, you know, a lot of those rebels that got trained ended up going and fighting with ISIS and stuff, you know. So, I mean, and it's, the situation there is, like, so dire. Like, Libya, you know, we're talking about over 50,000 people already dead in this conflict.
Well, look what's going on in Yemen right now with Saudi Arabia.
Now in Yemen, see, there's no one there to counterbalance against Saudi Arabia on this one, because if Iran tried to send warships in there, I mean, it'd be a really bad situation. But
those countries aren't going to bow up to Saudi Arabia. Not really, because, and this is something most people don't realize, is Saudi Arabia last year was the fourth highest funded military in the world. And we're talking about a military that never does anything, because we do their dirty work for them. So when they put money into their military, they just sit there and just keep building and building and building because they never use it.
No, what they do is that they're our proxy for funding those groups like ISIS and stuff like
that.
Groups like Al-Qaeda and stuff like that. And that's what this new report that the guys in Congress have right now on the whole 9/11 story is kind of, you know, from the details that we have so far, it's suggesting that it's going to be revealed that the Saudis were more or less behind the funding of the 9/11 planning. And
at best, that's, you know, at the least, should I say, that's what's going to come out.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's what we're going to find out, and then it's going to be like, well, what in the hell are we doing? You know, why did we go into Iraq?
And that's the reason, I start the beginning of this show off telling people the beheadings in that country and talk about that country so much, because we're talking about the biggest event in our lifetimes, if not the history of this nation, was 9/11, and it was funded by these people, and we call them allies. We had the U.S. government sponsored a essay contest when the king died. They sponsored an essay contest because he was such a great man. And these are the people that at least funded 9/11. Give me a break. I mean, what kind of brainwashed delusion is everybody living in? And they're just, well, that's conspiracy. That's no, it's not conspiracy. It's the facts. And you don't want to look at the facts. I mean, we're talking 15 of the 19 hijackers, Saudi Arabia. You think that's a mistake? They weren't Iraqi. And you were just fine with us when we went to Iraq. But we go talk about Saudi Arabia. That's nuts. That's conspiracy. They wouldn't dare. Yeah, they would dare. So, speaking of 9/11 and all the situations that surrounded that, we had a thing that came right after 9/11 because we're all patriots. It was a great, great piece of legislation called the Patriot Act.
Yeah, the Patriot Act.
And we supported that because, well, we're all patriots.
Was it like 98-2 in the Senate?
It was, yeah, it was something
crazy like that.
It was, yeah, something pretty much a farce. But now, we have another wonderful piece of legislation called the USA Freedom Act. And hey, who doesn't want freedom? That sounds great. You going to sign that bill? Freedom? I want freedom.
Yeah, this Freedom Act is a troubling piece of legislation because I'm sure everyone has seen the headline. The Freedom Act passed today.
Well, the House, hey, look, the headline right here.
Through the House, right?
House passes. It was yesterday when it passed, but the House passes USA Freedom Act to curb NSA spying. In a landslide move today, the House voted to pass the USA Freedom Act.
So these are the headlines coming out of all these websites.
Right.
It's like, this USA Freedom Act just totally ended the mass surveillance of Americans.
Oh, yeah, it's over.
Like, all the stuff Edward Snowden did, everything, don't even worry about none of that.
We've got our freedom back. We've got our freedom back.
Just fixed all that stuff. Now, that's what the media is telling us today.
Okay, now I'm going to read you a quote, and I'll tell you after I read it where it came from. You will read all sorts of stories and headlines about how the latest USA Freedom Act ends bulk collection. It doesn't. In fact, the bill expressly authorizes, for the first time, the NSA, FBI, and other government agencies to unconstitutionally collect data in bulk on potentially millions of law-abiding citizens. That wasn't said by some talking head in the media. That was said by U.S. Congressman Justin Amash.
One of the few Republicans.
One of the few anybodies.
To vote against it.
To vote against it. And he clearly voted against it. And he said that, you know, they're telling you it's one thing, but it's actually the opposite. They're saying it's ending it, and they're just going to expand it even more.
Well, they're putting it in the law. But, you know, the thing is that this stuff just got ruled unconstitutional, man, by the court. You know what I mean?
Right.
And they're like putting it in the law now.
Well, it's here's crazy. What's crazy. How did they? And yes, they did just rule that it was unconstitutional. But the last time I checked, there's a thing called the Fourth Amendment. Why did we need to like have a debate on whether that was constitutional or not? Like, what do we need a judge telling
us
that?
Creative interpretation of the law.
Yeah, it's called what it's called is breaking the law.
Yeah, it's called total corruption.
And you've got James Clapper who lies in front of Congress and says this isn't happening, and it is happening. Nothing happens to this man. He gets a promotion. We praise him. We say that he's the greatest man in the world, even though he lied to the face of Congress. He lied to the American people under oath, mind you. Okay, so he literally broke a law when he lied. He was under oath. That's okay. Not a big deal. But you get whistleblowers. What happens to them? They go to jail.
That guy, he was a CIA whistleblower. He just got sentenced to like 42 months.
Yeah. 42 months.
And we were talking about this a couple shows back, actually about how that whistleblower guy may have actually helped prevent war with Iran, dude. Because the stuff that he leaked showed that we were trying to set the Iranians up. Like,
well, no wonder he went to jail.
What we were basically doing was trying to like force their hand into buying these fake nuclear plans and parts.
Right.
And then they were going to go in and bust them and say, oh, look what they have. You know, and this guy blew the whistle on it from the CIA, and he just got nailed 42 months.
Well, no wonder he got nailed. I mean, the U.S. government has been wanting to go to war with Iran for years and years and years. Wesley Clark talked about it. Lots of people. That's a United States general, for people who don't know Wesley Clark is, ran for president in 2008. He knew what was going on.
Iran is like it's a crucial, it's like a very key geopolitical piece.
Very much so. But, hey, did you hear, I don't know if you heard this or not, they're like a couple weeks away from getting a bomb. Iran, they're a couple weeks away from getting a bomb. I tell you what, I heard that. I was listening to a speech from Netanyahu from 23 years ago, and he said they were just a couple weeks away, and he's repeated that over and over for 23 years. So it's only a couple weeks away. So we got to do something about that. We've got to nip that in the bud and make sure they don't get a bomb because they're just going to blow the world up because they're crazy. No. It's not going to happen. Those people aren't fools.
I mean, here's the thing, man. To think that there's not already nuclear bombs on Iranian territory, because think of how much of a close ally they are to Russia. Russia's got the most nukes in the world out of any country. To think that Russia hasn't already put some there for their defense would be pretty naive, I think. But here's the thing. Even if they do have it on there, have they used it? Have they used it to bomb Israel? No, they haven't, because that would just be stupid.
Well, if, you know, if, and here's the thing.
Launch a preemptive
if they launched a weapon, And then somebody launched a weapon back at them, and just that was the end of Iran, basically. It wouldn't be like Iraq, like, oh, that was a big mistake. It's like, well, y'all probably shouldn't have launched that weapon at somebody. You kind of did it to yourselves. And it wouldn't be, I don't think there would be this outcrying sympathy of how dare you did this, how dare you did this to these people if they did it first. You know, that's what defense actually is.
Yeah. Not preeminently going in just in case.
Right,
it's
exactly.
Like, what if they decide to be bad people?
Exactly.
Then let's go in there preeminently.
And Iran knows that. Iran's not stupid. They understand that if they ever did that, they would cease to exist,
like,
as a country.
They have the possibility to be bad people, so let's be bad people.
That's what it is. I mean, that's... We don't have a Department of Defense. We have a Department of Offense. And we have to speculate and look at the, you know, go get our palms read. Who's going to do bad next? Well, I think they're going to do bad, so we need to go blow them up and overthrow them to keep that from happening.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. It's behavior that if we did it, you or me did it on the street, said, well, I beat this guy up just because he looked like he was probably going to hurt somebody, you know, maybe in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Just because he had a bad attitude, so I just decided to beat his ass. We'd go to jail for that, you know?
Right.
That's just a fact of the matter. We killed a guy because we thought maybe he might kill somebody in a couple weeks. Well, then we'd go to prison for that for a very long time. But at the same time, when our government does it and they kill 50,000 people in Libya and, you know, a million people in Iraq, which have died since the war on terror started, it's kind of just like, oh, well, you know, we got presidential candidates running that are saying, I'd replicate that policy. You know what I mean? And it's kind of like, man, you guys should be rotting in prison, not running for president.
And that's what's so sick about it. And that's what I was talking about earlier. Like, I don't understand how Jeb Bush isn't even lying to people about this. Like, he's saying, I'm going to go in here and do these things. Marco Rubio's saying it.
Here's the thing, dude. You got to keep in mind, the elections are so controlled that Jeb Bush isn't running to win. Jeb Bush is there to keep the debate shifted enough to the middle where they can focus it strictly on how much do we want to bomb a country, not should we not bomb a country. You know what I'm saying? Remember the last Republican presidential debates where, like, the whole debate was like, I want to bomb Iran a lot or I want to bomb Iran a little.
And then Ron Paul's in the corner.
Iran as soon as I get elected, or I want to bomb Iran 2 years after I get elected.
Ron Paul's in the corner and you can just watch his head explode.
Yeah, and he's just, yeah, and then they just don't ask him any questions.
And he's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so, you know, the reason why you got people like that coming in, and then there's that guy, the Fox News guy, John Bolton.
Yeah.
This guy is supposedly going to announce that he might run for president. This guy is the biggest neocon war hawk ever. He used to be an ambassador to the UN for the US. And now he denounces the UN. He's a total neocon. He's been caught in, like, various scandals, lies, and manipulations and stuff like that. And now he's saying that he's going to run. And the whole point of him running, we all know he's unelectable as well, is that he runs farther to the neocon right of Jeb Bush even.
Right.
And then you just have Marco Rubio in the middle to, you know, soak up all the, like, these guys are crazy and these guys have no chance of winning. So, you know,
and then
you got people like Rand Paul that are going to try to shift the debate slightly over to the, you know, let's be real about foreign policy and let's talk about how much it actually is costing us and what we're actually getting out of it. That debate is going to be so far over to the left of the panel that's up there is that those ideas are hardly going to get any play.
Sure. And here, okay. We could first off, when it comes to Rubio, I think that Rubio is a suave, good-looking brown Bush. Like, that's what I think he is. I think he's just a Bush. I think he got tied up with Jeb when he was in Florida.
He would probably act very much like Bush.
His chief of staff, the guy that we did the story about that worked for GEO, which is the private prison company.
Private prison industry student.
Right, okay. He used to also work for Dick Cheney. He's got connections up to his neck with the Bushes. So that's what Rubio is, and people need to wake up and realize that he's an extension of the Bushes and their policy. He's just a much prettier, cleaner, good-looking...
He's a much more electable version.
But very much more electable
version. The same policies as if Jeb Bush were to actually get elected, which is completely impossible.
I don't think it's impossible for Jeb to get elected, and that's terrifying. Now, we're sitting here talking about all the candidates, and we're not talking about, okay, we speculate what they'll do when they get in office. We're talking about what they're saying today, their rhetoric. Outside of Rand Paul, is there anybody that's even saying they're not going to go bomb people? Anybody?
Well, the only one you'd outside of Rand would be Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, I guess. You know, he's Hillary's not going to say it, but we all know what she's going to do.
Hillary's a complete neocon.
Well, of course she is.
If she were to become president, which I also think is impossible, I mean, I've gone on record already
saying who I think my favorite is.
But I don't think Hillary Clinton's a dummy candidate just set up to lose. Like, she's set up to lose, and maybe next election she might win.
And we've talked about that privately in great detail.
And she needs to get a little bit older to the point where she's old enough where people can't talk that much shit about her.
She's already that old. She's almost 70 years old. This is it for her. This is her swan song. She's going to run. She's going to lose. And that's it. You're never going to hear from her again. She's going to go the way of John Kerry, but, you know, he ended up getting his 30 pieces of silver when they made him Secretary of State. So, you know, but she's already gotten her reward. She had her Secretary of State. She became a senator. You know, she was, you know, we've done all that with her, and she's just going to disappear. She's completely irrelevant. She's got more baggage. Think about how much baggage just the general politician has. She has so much, there's just no way she's ever going to win. And I think it's almost kind of ridiculous talking about her in the context of which she will win.
Yeah, the funny thing is that she's the preeminent nominee. I mean, there's not even a Democratic candidate that's going to even come close to her.
Because the Democratic Party is so weak right now, they don't have anybody else. So they're offering her up as a softball, and we will have a Republican president. You know...
Both parties are incredibly weak right now, I think.
Yeah. I think numbers-wise, as far as popularity to the mainstream culture, and we're not talking about the right and wrong of it. Politically, the Republicans have a lot. I mean, with the names of Marco Rubio and Jeb Bush and Ted Cruz, a lot of these names are household names. I mean, can anybody name five Democrats right now that have a chance of running? There's Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton.
There was that one guy, Grayson. He was actually pretty good. I think he's out of Florida, but he got caught up in some kind of scandal.
Right. I mean, so they don't have anybody. And the Republicans have a whole host of people. The problem is that whole host of people are all terrible. They're all going to continue the same warmongering, get elected by the banks, serve the bigger interests, forget the people, forget the constituents, and let's keep the show going, and we're still going to try to overtake Iran. We're still going to keep with the fear tactics. We're going to take away your freedoms and pass something called the USA Freedom Act.
Yeah, so back to this congressional stuff here, man, because there's another thing we can't forget to touch on while we're on this topic, is this whole TPP thing. And
well, the Democrats were against it 2 days ago.
Yeah, exactly. And there was a bunch of people like celebrating, like, oh, yay, like the Democrats are finally being Democrats and they're standing up to big business and stuff. And then it's like 2 days later, it's like, oh, never mind. they gave us our bargaining chip, so we changed our mind. And then that's all there, you know, that's pretty much all there was to it.
It literally took 2 days.
I mean, it's not, the TPP isn't law yet. There's still time to prevent that. But we're talking about something that's like very much got the ball rolling. And it's, I mean, this, the TPP thing is, it's not a new idea, man. This thing's been going it's been around for a couple years. It's been in brewing and now it's finally coming to this turning point. And now this is something that Obama's going to do before he's done with his presidency. 2016 is not going to, you know, 2016 is not going to be, you know, as much impacted by the whoever becomes president as it is by these laws that are being put into play right now. We're talking about the USA Freedom Act, the Patriot Act, which is set to expire, at least some portions of it.
And then
we're talking about the TPP, which by all likelihood looks like it's going to get sent to Obama's desk in the very near future. And he's probably going to.
We all know
he's been pushing for it, so he's going
to. Obama can do it. He won't. He's in a position. He never has to run for another office again. We are joined on the line right now, all the way from Birmingham, Alabama, Mr. Shannon Madden. Shannon, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing great, guys. How y'all doing tonight?
Can't complain.
Y'all are completely missing out on the blockbuster candidate of this presidency, and that is Miss Sarah Palin. She has thrown her hat back in this ring.
No, she has not.
So, yes, she has. Don't you talk about my baby.
She has done no such things. That is not
That's
true.
That's my baby right there. Oh, man. Can you imagine how great this nation would be with that wonderful woman? She really is. She is the Republican version of Hillary. She has no deaths on her records, no kill count whatsoever. I think you guys need to give her a chance. She's really a nice person. Did you see the photo she did for Hustler? Oh, man, she is awesome.
She would almost be kind of like the Putin version of the American politician, because she'd be like out like riding bears and shooting things, and
it'd be good for
taking photos with her like foot on the bear's head, you know, and her boobs hanging out. Oh man, that's my baby. Don't
her and Putin
about my
could
baby.
Box each other. That would be great.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm sold. What do we have to do?
So, yeah, we're there, man. This presidential election looks absolutely horrible. And any other alternative candidate that comes up, like our Rubios, you know, Ted Cruz, our fringe candidate off there on the edge, man, this is a really horrible looking field. It really is. More horrible than in recent memory, as far as I can think.
I honestly can't think of other than Ron Paul running any candidate in the past, I don't know, my entire lifetime.
Where's Ross Perot at? We need some Ross Perot in our life right now. We really do. Look at the graph.
Yeah, hey, NAFTA, he was right about that.
He was. I was so right about that. As anybody that comes from Texas, who else came from Texas that we know of that was president?
The Bushes or Lyndon Johnson didn't, did they? I don't think so. I think they came from somewhere else.
Our next president won't come from Texas. He comes from Florida. Yeah. Like it or not, Uncle Nick, it's going to happen. I hate to say it. The smart money's going to go on Jeb Bush. You know
that's
why? Because the smart money's always going on the Bushes. Always.
It's true.
And we all know the reason for that.
Now, Shannon,
there's so much money behind them, it's sick.
Nick is convinced that little Marco Bush Rubio is going to be the next president. He's convinced.
It's going to shave a couple percentage points off the Jeb Bush vote. But yeah, ultimately, you know, this election, just like so many other elections, have been rigged. And you know, I think the last election that the American people really got to, you know, state their opinion was the Kennedy administration. We all see all that.
No, are you serious? That was so rigged. You do realize that there were votes floating down a river in Illinois, and Nixon probably would have won that in 60. So, yeah, that election was rigged, too.
Shit, I don't even think they got to rig them that bad anymore. They just rig it with the media, man.
The
media,
yeah.
It was so controlled. They don't even have to tinker with the polls.
Well, that's what they did to Ron Paul.
Yeah, man, the media just takes out candidates left and right. They pick and choose.
I saw a thing roll on Facebook earlier, and I think as we roll on, and, you know, no matter your thoughts, and, you know, is he a Trojan horse for, you know, the corporations, whatever, I don't know. But Rand Paul, I saw this, you know, big hullabaloo earlier about how Fox News was having all these polls, and they're not even including him in them. With all these Republican candidates, and that goes to show exactly what you're talking about. They're already excluding him.
It's just media blackout, man.
Right.
That's how they control
exactly.
Him.
And raise everybody in. It's never going to happen.
By the time
exactly like they did with Ron Paul. Exactly like they did with Ron Paul.
I don't think they'll have to use a different tactic, because I think they played Ron Paul against himself a little bit, you know, because he wasn't the greatest orator in the world, and he could get up there and kind of come across as like, you know, they could play him off as your crazy uncle, blah, blah, blah. Oh, there were some newsletters that he may have read 30 years ago, and they were racist. So, you know, they could pigeonhole him into those things, and I don't think they're going to be able to do that.
The Ron Paul that I saw, the one that showed up in the Republican primary the Republican primary debates absolutely slayed. I mean, it wasn't even close. He destroyed every single candidate so bad that some of the candidates, like Newt Gingrich, for instance, would start to, like, slowly back up and, well, okay, well, you know, on this particular subject, yeah, I stand with Ron Paul on this. Let me tell you why. But this one thing I don't agree with, but I could change on that at any moment.
Well,
and,
Shane,
I mean,
wait,
the debates
Shane,
weren't even close.
You're missing something here, because you watch those debates through eyes of using common sense and trying to establish a truth and a truthful narrative. And for you to say that, oh, Ron Paul obviously won those debates, well, that just shows that you were skewed by using common sense, because the rest of the world all said Mitt Romney won those debates because that's what they said. That's what the media said. He would say two words and they wouldn't even, you know, make any sense. Well, Mitt Romney won. I saw it. It happened.
Yeah, it was all played up.
Did you see that haircut he had?
He was the untouched front runner forever.
Right. And you know, when we had a Herman Cain, and we don't really have what we had last time this time, because last time you'd have Herman Cain, or you had Bachman, or you had Santorum, or whatever.
Bachman.
Oh, man.
That's my baby. No, Sarah Palin's my baby. Sarah, I didn't mean it. I didn't mean it. I love you.
But they would always say, you'd have all these candidates go to the front, and they would always say, no matter what, Mitt's going to win. Don't worry about it. He's going to get the nomination. And one by one, they would all just go away, and they'd all disappear. And we haven't really had that one candidate yet that the media's already told us who's going to win.
No, they're not going to until the debate starts. And then you're still not going to know. You're just going to be able to see who gets the most time in each debate.
Right.
Whoever gets
the most time. Go ahead and take your money out, put it on the table. Jeb Bush is going to be he's going to be the front runner, and I hate it. It disgusts me to no end. I've seen how he's run the state of Florida, just like the Bushes have run this country into the ground for so many years, so many decades now. And you know, it's sick. I mean, it's to the point where people need to wake the fuck up. They really do. Because we're locked in a cycle, this Democratic-Republican cycle. And you know, and Hillary's going to play it close all the way up to the very end, and she's going to take it up the butt like she did last time. And it really is. The stage is already set. It's already cast. There's no sense in even going to the voting polls. Sit back, grab your popcorn, and watch the results.
Well,
because that's really where we're at.
Yeah, man. I mean, to me, it's like I don't even believe in this voting for any of these people, because it's like if you vote into it, then it's kind of like you're giving your consent. You know what I mean?
Right.
And like the problem, the whole thing for me with this whole idea behind what's going on here with voting and the government, how it's run, is that like 99% of the stuff that's going on is like I'm not consenting to. You know, my money is being used on shit that I don't agree with, and no matter which way I vote, that's going to be the reality of it. You know, and therefore, to me, it's like from a moral standpoint, I really can't see myself voting for a candidate because I don't believe in the system.
Right, but I'll be honest.
Absolutely,
I completely agree with that sentiment. But you know what? If there was a Ron Paul running, or, you know, a candidate like that, I mean, you know, so far he's young, but if there was a Justin Amash running, I may would be in a voting booth for the first time, you know?
I mean, I see that aspect of it, you know, but for me it's just like, even if you do get the guy in that's, like, legit.
Right.
You know, there's no telling what goes on after he's elected. There's no telling how if he's controlled or whatever.
Of course.
And then even if he isn't, you're talking about the whole Congress, the whole Senate,
right,
all that shit, all of it corrupt to the bone.
Exactly. Right? And all the way down
to the local police departments. Like, dude, it's the whole system is, like, it's totally gone, like, totally screwed, basically.
It completely is.
So I feel like at this point in time, casting a vote in that, for that system, it's kind of like,
well,
casting a vote for your own, like, chains, you know?
It is, but we're also dealing, too, with, on a federal level, and this sounds crazy to people and conspiracy, whatever, the elections are rigged on that level. I mean, they are. It is
completely. That's exactly what we're talking about right now. That's what we're talking about.
I mean, there's no point in voting in them because they're going to get who they're going to get no matter what.
And then you're also talking about only about what was the amount of people that voted for Obama? 20% of the voting public.
Something.
I mean, it's a ridiculously low amount.
Like people say, "Oh, democracy is tyranny of the democracy is tyranny of the majority." No, we're dealing with tyranny of the minority, man. There's 20% of the voting public voted for the politicians that are in office.
Yeah,
and they're all telling us how this country's going to be run and how its resources are going to be divvied out and how its contracts are going to be.
But, okay, by what you just said, though, voting, being devil's advocate here, voting would make a change because you're saying if 100% of the country voted, these 20% that voted for this, you know, clown, then maybe things could change because it's 80% didn't vote.
But you're never going to get 100% of the people to vote because they don't believe in the system, dude. 20% of people voted for Obama. It's like, dude, what the other 80% are pretty much either apathetic or dissatisfied.
But see,
you're
assuming most people are dissatisfied, and I don't believe that. I think most people are apathetic. I don't think that there's a lot of people just sitting here steaming in their living room saying, as protest, I'm not going to vote. There's people that's like, what? Today's voting day.
Who cares?
Right. Well, there's a basketball game on tonight.
Because it sucks.
Right.
People are apathetic because they're disenfranchised, man.
Well, they're disenfranchised. They've been programmed that way. People have been programmed with their bread and circuses, you know, in a lack of better words. They're distracted. They want them to be distracted. These corporations, the Time Warners, are funding these candidates. It's this merry-go-round at the top, and we're all at the bottom in the horse manure.
Yeah, and how do we break out of this, though? How does the other 80%, the true majority, how do we break out of this?
I think it is up to us. First off, people need to understand, and I think this is a lot of the stage that we're in right now, and it's progressing, but people need to understand what's going on. For so long, people didn't even want to admit this stuff was terrible. They didn't want to even fathom that any of this was happening. And I think the benefits of having a Bush that was such a terrible president, and the benefits of having an Obama who's been such a terrible president, that people can look back on a Republican and a Democrat for 16 years and go, oh yeah, I don't think this is working anymore.
Absolutely. But you know, at the same time though, a just any random third party candidate is not the ultimate answer. We all know this.
No.
Now, I referenced Ross Perot earlier. Ross was he was kind of leading us in a better direction, but at the same time it was still Ross. Ross had his baggage and, you know, all so much of the vote because he was still Ross Perot at the end of the day.
Where is our
magic bullet candidate, you know, who's not Republican, who's not Democrat, who's not whatever, you know, subversive, quote-unquote, third party.
I met Jill Stein.
You know, the one guy or gal that's going to come, you know, sweep up on their magic white stallion and lead us out of this crap.
I met Jill Stein in L.A. and hung out with her for a little bit, and she's really cool. She ran for presidency last election in the Green Party. But I mean, of course, we don't agree on everything, but some of these third parties, like, I don't know if anyone else saw those third party debates. They were hosted by Free and Equal. The ideas that came out of those, you know, talking about those ideas was like really good, you know, and that's all you can really hope for, man, is like spreading the ideas. Like, cause the thing is that
not only though, most people don't realize those debates didn't happen. They've never heard the name Jill Stein. They don't even know third parties exist. Most people don't know who Gary Johnson was, and he was by far the most predominant third party candidate. And most people realize he was even around. All they knew is Mitt Romney, Barack Obama.
And Mitt Romney was like the least palatable guy out of all.
The least one.
And he was just like such a token rich guy. And I mean,
he made John Kerry look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. He really did.
He was like a Ken doll at like 65 years old.
And he's a one percenter in the age of Occupy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah.
The guy had electability.
The wrong guy at the wrong time.
On purpose.
Of course.
Yeah.
But
on purpose.
Romney got all the time.
I think you hit the nail on the head there.
And I'll tell you what, his policies, I think the guy was not only, I think his policies were bad. I think he was just a scumbag person too. But to me, content-wise, Ron Paul won those debates. As far as just pure debating and the sport of it, Newt Gingrich won every single one of those debates because he's such a jerk and he could talk around all of them.
Yeah, he's great.
Well, and again, going back to what I was saying earlier, he also, during those debates, had was kind of trying to steal a little bit of Ron Paul's thunder during the whole debate. I mean, it got bad. Once he started realizing that Ron Paul was, kind of had him on the ropes, and he was like kind of embracing him on the ropes.
Gingrich was the only one that realized.
Up.
Yeah. But I wish, and I said this at the time, I wish they could put the verbal skills of Newt Gingrich, but put Ron Paul in them. It would have been over. It would have been game over.
Yeah.
But, I don't think anybody with the ethics that Ron Paul came across of having could have ever been the politician.
Wait a minute. Are you trying to say that Newt Gingrich wasn't unethical? Come on now. That was a total misunderstanding. Everybody just needs to chill out.
His wife? No, yeah, I guess you're right. John Edwards?
Yeah.
National Enquirer?
Yeah.
Pulitzer Prize?
The press.
Pulitzer Prize?
Yeah, the press people.
National Enquirer?
So this TPP thing, man. We didn't really get to it.
I think they're going to force it through, but they've been trying to force it through, like you said, for years. At one point, did they not go to the UN about this? Like, they've tried every way in the world.
Obama's really picked it up, though, man.
Well, there's going to be no repercussions for him.
And I was reading through some of the text, and like these guys, the Democrats are asking for these concessions to be able to support the TPP. And one of the concessions is to supply funds to re-educate people that lose their jobs because of this trade deal. The hilarious thing, it's like they're selling this thing. It's like this is a jobs thing. This is going to help the economy and shit. And, oh, by the way, here's a couple $1 million to retrain the guys that lose their jobs. It's like, wait. So you're admitting preemptively that this thing is going to destroy jobs and you're still going to go through with it.
No,
as long as you get the money
to that's not true.
Education.
That's not true. You read about the – look. We read about the Freedom Act earlier. Freedom! They
Freedom
said it's going to end.
Freedom!
We're living in Braveheart, man. TPP is going to create jobs. The Freedom Act is going to give us freedom.
This is some Orwellian shit.
It is. It absolutely is. Look at we ran a story earlier today with Harry Reid talking about the Patriot Act because that's coming up in June. He's like, oh, we can't have this. This thing's horrible. It's like you've literally voted for it repeatedly, over and over and over.
Yeah, and that's why Hillary Clinton can't even talk about, comment on the Jeb Bush thing, saying that he'd do the same thing that my brother did because she voted for it when she was in the Senate.
That's the thing.
Oh, yeah.
How would a debate between Hillary Clinton and Jeb Bush go? Somebody would say something, the other would go, yeah, I'd do that too. I mean, would that be the entire debate of them just agreeing with each other?
That would be the worst and at the same time the most awesome debate ever.
That would be a great debate, actually. Just Bush, I'd go bomb some people and he would be like, yeah, me too. Debate over. They just hold their hands up together like it's Macho Man and Hulk Hogan.
Miss Elizabeth, you leave her out of this.
Oh, man, we are so screwed. Well, I guess we should be talking about educating people on is how to apply for Canadian passports for when this election takes place.
We need to kick this into overdrive. We really need to start prepping people for what's really going to happen.
Shannon, you were saying, how do we get out from under this, man? I think one of the obvious things is economics, right? I don't know if you guys have heard about this new Tesla house battery operation they have set
the
up.
House?
Now. Oh, absolutely. We were talking about this earlier today.
Yeah, it's like a wall of batteries, and you use it in your house, and it allows you to go completely off-grid if you have solar. And so these are the kind of ideas, like, so what we can do is try to change the system from the top by voting in these politicians that run the system. Changing it from the top doesn't make sense. By decentralizing the economic system.
Absolutely.
And, you know, shattering their mainframe, and this is how these guys run their pyramid scheme, is one, by jacking us all for taxes and robbing us of the productivity. Two, by running this pyramid scheme with the Fed and the monetary system and the central banking. And then, you know, three, they collateralize all of our expected earnings, tax money based, and they use your social security number to track all this stuff, right? And they basically, all this debt that's sold off to other countries like China and stuff, you know, China buys our debt and Japan buys our debt and all these countries buy our debt. Well, what the debt really is the future expected income off of your social security number and taxes, you know, and they're basically, you know, making subprime mortgages based on social security numbers right now to all these other countries, man, trillions and trillions of dollars. And so this is a, you know, completely, completely onerous and oppressive economic system. So the only way to beat it, I think, is to just start decentralizing it. Turn it from a pyramid scheme into a circle, into a sphere. You know what I mean? And have more like inward thinking economics, like local thinking economics and stuff like that. And that'll break the back of the corporate state, man, because then it breaks the backs of Walmart and things like that. McDonald's. We already see the writing on the wall. McDonald's is already selling, what, 700 stores or something like that?
They closed down 700 this year.
Yeah, closing down 700 stores. Walmart sales are slipping. They've closed several stores. You know, I mean, we're talking about this economic rethinking is already starting to slowly but surely organically take place.
Here's the problem, though, and this is where things get dicey, is McDonald's, for example. McDonald's is going away more for health issues because people realize it's so bad for you. But you got Walmart. The worse the economy does, the better that store's going to do. Because
absolutely,
because the stuff is so cheap and people can't afford to go anywhere else anymore, and they've kind of got people bent over, like, because Walmart would almost be pushing for the economy to go under, because unless you're going to either a thrift store, a Dollar General, or Walmart, that's all people can afford. They're not going to the mall anymore and doing all the stuff they used to do. They've got to go buy their Chinese-made goods that, you know, that were made for a nickel, and they paid some kid 3 cents to work for a week, and he jumped off the roof 3 times and landed in a little net.
Soon to be Latin American-made goods, bro.
Right.
And this is this is the thing with the TPP, bro, and this is what we're worried about, dude. The whole point, I think, behind the TPP, and you got to remember, China is specifically left out of this trade deal. It's a massive trade deal. China's left out of it. And part of the reason being is that the U.S. is seeing the writing on the wall when it comes to China. And they're like, okay, well, these guys are so big. They're a superpower now. And we're not, you know, we can't rely on them to be our, you know, provide us with this, you know, dirt cheap labor forever. So we got to make this counterbalance economic situation with Latin America where it allows our corporations to go in and exploit that. Mm-hmm. Oppressed labor, cheap labor, whatever you want to call it, indentured servitude. I mean, that's what they're doing, man.
It is. Like,
it's going to shift away from China because we're starting to see that China's becoming too powerful. We're going to shift our manufacturing away from them to try to slow them down a little bit. And that's what this TPP thing is all about. And so it's like these guys are, you know, this is why Obama is so hyped, you know, and so adamant about getting this thing to pass. It's not just a little economics bill. And since when does Obama give a shit about economics anyway?
Absolutely.
It's not. It's a much bigger geopolitical move, man. And that's why these guys are so they're getting paid off. Look at the Republicans. The TPP. It's a philosophy of the fast track of the TPP, and this is the whole controversy right now at this moment in time. It's the fast track, right? And basically, what that is Congress is delegating its power over the trade of the country over to the executive branch.
How often have you heard the Republicans rip on Obama about being a dictator, about abusing the executive power, about all of this stuff?
And now they want to get.
And now they're it. Now Congress is saying, okay, we're going to delegate all of this power over to the executive branch. And who's the main cheerleader of it? The Republicans. There was only two Republicans that didn't vote for this thing.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So this it's so obvious to see that this is nothing more than
Rand Paul and a guy from South Carolina.
Yes, it was Rand Paul and some other dude. And it's just a massive, massive corporate takeover of the economic policy of all the countries that are party to this treaty. And this
well,
is,
and also, too, if you start shifting, you know, the labor back down to the Latin American countries, then you also simultaneously quell the whole, as we're dealing with here in Alabama, the quote-unquote immigration problem.
We
shifted the jobs back down south. There's no reason for them to come up here. We built this big wall. We can keep everybody down there. We've got the drones and the.
And I think it's part of the reason the Republicans are dead.
Keep all that cheap labor down there. The cheap labor that we used to use China for, that exported us for. Well, I can't really say exported if you look at it in the grand scheme of things. That is another direct benefit of what we're talking about here. And don't think that was unintended.
And it'll help put down the rebellion that's getting ready to take place in Mexico, too.
Absolutely. Oh, man, it's getting thick down there. It really is.
Yeah, man, this thing is going to have huge repercussions, and this is going to be bigger than anything that happens in 2016, this one trade deal. And it's been in the works since years and years. So this is the thing that's really scary, and the Democrats, like we mentioned earlier, acted like they were against it, and then 2 days later, they're like, never mind, we changed our mind. They got their little bargaining chip. Now they're all for it. So it's kind of just further undermining this idea that we have a representative government. Man, this TPP trade deal is a very unpopular thing. Of course, nobody really knows about it. It's been censored for so long. How many times have we posted stories on it and they just die out immediately?
Because it's boring.
It's the biggest, most censored story that of the
people see these letters and it's boring to them, yada, yada, yada. They don't.
Yeah, it's all economics and stuff. It's boring on at face level. It's boring shit.
Right.
But underlying all this boring stuff is some real hardcore changes.
Here's what people need to know. Your rights have been sold for a few people's greed. That's happened, and that's what's happening now. That's what the Democrats just did. That your freedoms and your rights have been sold, and they've been packaged in such a way where you thought it was in your best interest, but it was really in a few individuals' interest and corporations' interest, and they're going to be the ones that profit off of all of this, and it's going to be you and me and our families that suffer. And nobody wants to realize it because these huge things they want to make boring. We don't need to talk about this. This isn't going to be on CNN or MSNBC. And as horrible as police brutality is, I mean, we talk about it constantly, I think the media is now starting to run with some of these stories as distraction stories. I mean, the story I wrote about in January with Matt Black and Savannah, CNN covered it last week for the first time. Why are you talking about this months later? Like, it should be out there. It should be. But it's like now they're just going to jump from story to story to stop talking about all this other stuff going on. And that, to me, is a way of keeping people divided and keeping they see, oh, people are interested in this. Like, let's just jump on this.
The country's in a upheaval right now, man. It's quiet, but it's there, dude. And it might be only some people, but it's there.
Well, I tell you what, we will be back next week. LeVon will be on tomorrow. Thank you, Nick. Thank you, Sam, so much for calling in. Anton,
peace out.
Radio.
Yo, here we go through the stereo.